I want everybody to turn around their seats right now and look back there. See that nice-looking young man in the black sweater walking across the back of the stage back there, back of this church? That's Pastor Ivan. And Pastor Divine is the other nice-looking, but he's not so young man. But if you guys, I would like for you guys to look around the sanctuary right now. And if you look at the walls on the side, you'll see that they've been painted. And if you notice the ceiling tiles, we're going to be turning these ceiling tiles up here black. And the purpose for that is, first off, to make God's house look wonderful. Amen?
Amen.
But we were discovering certain things that when we were part of the worship service, that the lighting had certain effects, and it just wasn't palpable when we did the videos. And so Pastor Ivan and his team have been painting this room, and they've been working very hard. So a round of applause for Pastor Ivan and his team back there. It's those young people. So I come to you this morning saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue in our current series, Living a Life of Significance. Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. In fact, all over this church, all over the sanctuary, if you have your Bibles, your Word of God, either in printed or digital format, please hold it up. Amen. If you digital format, have it face me so I see that you're not playing solitaire there. Amen. Great. That's wonderful. And what a great day it is to be here. And, you know, last Sunday, what a great time it was. Amen. We came in and we saw that there are many people just God at work in His house. And as we came here, we had people ordained. Ms. Ruth Ann, I believe we have some cards for Brother Rennell and his son in your bag. Make sure we get the cards to them. We forgot to give them their cards last Sunday. And, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And, you know, the cross is foolishness to the world. Amen? But I firmly believe that once God's people realize that the power of the cross represents the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. And that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "But those of us who were yet dead in our sins, God raised to the Lord Jesus Christ." The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that lives in your heart and raised you to your salvation. Amen?
Amen?
And I believe that once God's people learn that, once God's people grasp that to their hearts, that heaven will break loose in Coral Springs, Florida.
Amen.
You know, amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise. You know, I was shaking hands with folks before the service this morning. One of the ladies, one of our sweet ladies, I wouldn't embarrass her by naming her, but that's Miss Shirley. She asked, "Well, Pastor, why are you sweating?" And you know, before I take this pulpit, I go in there and I sit with the prayer team. You know, and sitting with the prayer team is like doing that pre-race workout. You know, the athletes never go and just start running the marathon or start running their races. They always go and they work out first. Amen? They work up a good sweat. And that's what that prayer room is for me. I work up a good sweat in there. And I get reinvigorated by our prayer team to come in here and to preach and teach the Word of God. Amen? And so if you have found your way to Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 12, please say, Amen.
Amen.
Reading from the Word of God. And it talks about Caleb inherits Hebron. That's what this particular passage is about. "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite," yeah, that's right, I'm reading the Hebrew Bible this morning, the Hebrew phone book this morning, "said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him, and it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Stay there in your Bibles. I'm going to read two more verses. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Gezerite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. May the Lord add his blessing upon his name. What an amazing passage this is. And it's all about Joshua saying, I am going to take hold of what the Lord has said. You see, we don't need to go looking for blessings, amen? We simply need to read the Word of God. For what the Lord has said is ours will be ours, amen? And the word Hebron, talking about this mountain, you see, Hebron, the mountain, was a beautiful mountain. It was fruitful. It was tall. It was lush. It was green. It was fantastic. It was wonderful. But the word Hebron means association with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want my association with the Lord my God to be fruitful, to be lush, to be awesome. You see, I want the Lord to do something in and through Living Hope Church, not because of the pastor, not because of the prayer team, but because all of God's people have grabbed hold of their Hebron. Because what? Because the Lord has said so in this day. You see, friends, when we grab hold of those things, look at verse 12. It says, now therefore, give me this mountain. You see, so many Christians these days are living in valleys of depression. They're not living the significant life. They're drawing their breath. They're drawing their salary. They're making it day by day. But listen, friends, they have no real victories in their life, and that is not the life that the Lord has decided for you. That is not the life the Lord has called for you. He has called for you to live the significant life, to live the wonderful life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our lives should reflect the promises of God. Amen? I thought I'd get a testimony there. I'm so glad I brought my own. Our lives should reflect significance, victory, joy, and rejoicing in the glory of God. I love the songs that we sang this morning. I just love them. You know, they're amazing songs. They're wonderful songs. I am so grateful to Miss Jamie and her team for the music that we play here. How great was worship last week, amen? As God's people came and sang together, Spanish language as well as the English language. And so today, we are going to be reminded that Caleb was a spiritual giant. He was a spiritual giant. And we can learn a lot from him. He was a spiritual giant because he believed the Lord. He believed the Lord's promises. He trusted God. He wanted to live the significant life. Now in Joshua, until this time, the Jewish people had been a nation of slaves. They've been a nation of slaves, going from one slavery to the next in Egypt. The Israelites left the land of slavery to enter what the Bible says was a land of rest. So let me ask you this today, Living Hope Baptist Church. Aren't you tired of being a slave to Satan? Aren't you tired of fighting those temptations? Aren't you tired of all of these things that happen in our lives? God says that we are to enter our place of rest in the Lord. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have struggles. It doesn't mean we're not going to fail so many times. But the Scripture does say that when that happens, that the Lord is faithful and true to forgive our transgressions. And all that we have to do is ask. Isn't that great? You know, I don't know how your prayer life goes, but I have a wonderful prayer life because I have a lot to apologize to for the Lord. And I just feel so wonderful when I just feel that peace in my heart. And I'll go before the Father's throne and I'll say, Lord, I'm so sorry for this thing I've done. Please forgive me. And the Lord says, you're forgiven. I can feel it in my heart. And then I say, no, Lord, you're not really listening. I mean it this time. I'm really sorry for that. And the Lord says, I know. You're forgiven. And I say, no, no, Lord, you've really forgotten what I've taught, what I'm saying here. I'm really sorry for that. That's never going to happen again. And the Lord says, you are forgiven. Go in peace. And as I'm walking away, I can hear the Holy Spirit whispering in my ear, see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. You see, guys, we don't need physical rest. Some of us do. Miss Jamie would certainly like to have physical rest in her throat. Miss Ruth Ann, who did not sing this morning with the praise teams, has a head cold. She would like to have that taken. But we need spiritual rest. We need mental rest. We need true peace in our hearts. And that only comes through the Lord. Amen. That only comes when we see the Lord high and lifted up in our lives. There are so many Christians these days living lives of anxiety, lives of frustration. How can that be that Christians would live in that manner? It's because they've forgotten who they are. They've forgotten who the Lord is. You see, my job is the training up the saints, the edification of the church for the work of the ministry. And sometimes people say, well, Pastor Larry, you're preaching to the choir here every Sunday morning. Well, friends, that's how you get the choir to sing. Preach to them. Preach to everybody that draws near to the Lord. Amen? And so listen, guys. The Jews have been wandering the desert. They've been listening in the desert to sermon after sermon, message after message, just like you guys, week in and week out, about Canaan, about their promised land. That I can see where the Lord is leading us. I can see that it's coming. But now they are here in the promised land in the book of Joshua. They are seeing the promised land. And the desire of my heart this morning is this. The desire of Pastor Carol's heart this morning is that the desire of Pastor Ivan, the desire of Pastor Divine, the desire of Pastor Jairo, the desire of Pastor Henry, the desire of our hearts is we want to get what we want this congregation to get today's message out of your notes. We want you to get it out of your bulletins, and we want you to catch the vision of God's plan for your life. Catch that vision. We want you to grab that into the deepest part of your hearts. This isn't just another message one more week about the promised land. This is thus saith the Lord. This is the glory of the Lord revealed in His Word. And we want you to experience the wonderful, significant life that God has planned for you. Now, once again, just in case somebody's watching on the internet, this is not a name it and claim it church. That's terrible theology. Matter of fact, you could say that's straight from the pits of hell and smells like smoke. It's not theologically true. But we know that there are difficulties in your life. We know you have concerns and worries, but we also know that we have been personally designed and formed in our mother's womb. You ready for this? By the Elohim, the Lord our God. We stand and we pray to Elohim Shammah, the Lord that hears. We stand on the strength of El Silah, the Lord is my rock. We can face any enemy, any difficulty because of El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. Why? Because he is El Yeshuate. He is the God of my salvation. And I hope He's the Lord of your salvation. And how do I know that He's the Lord of my salvation? It's because in the fullness of time, God sent Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Mark down in your notes there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. That is the gospel message. Now back to our message for today. Joshua himself is a personal illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And the book of Joshua represents the victory that Christ has over all obstacles. Listen to me, guys. The battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. Don't fight these things in your own strength. Fight them in the strength of the Lord. But who is today's hero, Caleb? Who does he represent? Well, we're going to let Caleb represent us. Each and every person here today, we who are about to conquer our Canaan, amen? But to receive the promises that God has given you, we're going to learn how Caleb does that. Now, you'll notice in your notes we have four, in your bulletin today we have four notes places there. I don't want you to freak out when the pastor has been preaching for a while and we've covered two. We're going to cover the other two next week. Everybody take a nice deep breath. Ah. Personally, I long for the days of Nehemiah chapter 8 when it says that Ezra stood and read the word of the Lord and taught from dawn until noon, what us preachers like to call the good old days. You know, I read that story in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, where it says that Paul preached far into the night, and a man was sitting on the wood sill, and Paul preached so long that the man fell out. Paul preached so long, I say, bless his heart. Bless his heart. I didn't get an amen on that. I feel shunned. All right, so let's talk about the first of our 2 points today. First point, how does Caleb's character model? First, we see Caleb's personal character. Look at the last part of verse 8. If you're there, say amen. It says, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Last part of verse 9. Because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Skip down to verse 14. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said, but it may be that the Lord will be with me. Listen, guys. Why? Because I wholly followed the Lord. Three times God's word says in those few verses that Caleb was a man that wholly followed the Lord his God. Caleb was a man who gave God all that he had. He was a believer that gave it all. He gave every inch. He gave every ounce. He gave every nerve. He gave every fiber of what he was to the Lord. He gave it all. He left nothing on the playing field. Nothing. Listen, one of the things that Pastor Carol and I are teaching our new preachers is to leave it all in the pulpit. Leave it all on the stage. Listen, I want to, if something happens on the way home, I'm turning 65 this week, good Lord. I was like, wait, what? But if something happens this week and the Lord takes me, I want to be able to know deep in my heart that I gave the Lord everything I had in this last sermon. Amen. I don't want to get to heaven and have Gabriel come over and say, Larry, the Lord would like to talk to you. See, that's just one of those bad moments, amen? I want to leave it all right here. I want to leave every inch of what I have right here. And you know what? As long as I have breath in my life, as long as I have strength and I'm being fruitful for the Lord, I want to do that. All right? I'm only going to be 65. Joshua didn't start his ministry. Moses didn't start their ministry till they were 80. See, I'm still in school. The Lord is training us up for the big things, amen? I don't think the Lord's going to let you guys wait until I'm 80 to do something here. But I wonder how many of us can say this morning, I've given everything to Jesus Christ. How many of us can say that? How many can say, I have followed the leading of the Holy Spirit and I am 100% committed to God? Guys, the Lord is not the least bit interested in make-believe, half-hearted religion. He's not interested in religion at all. You see, there is no significant life in that kind of a life. Evangelist Henry Varley, very famous evangelist in the first part of last century, said, the world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with a man wholly committed to Him. Thought I'd get another testimony there? I'm glad I brought my own. I'm going to read that again. The world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with and for a man wholly committed to Him. I want to be that man. I want to be that committed to the Lord. I want the young people, when they leave here, if they see me in 15 years and I'm walking up to them, to realize, here comes Pastor Larry, he's going to ask me if I'm still committed to the Lord. That's what I desire for my life. Now friends, I fall short. Don't everyone flock to Miss Ruth Ann after the service to find in what. But I want to be wholly, completely dedicated to the Lord. And I want to grab my mountain of blessings. I want that fruitful association with the Lord my God. I don't want to just show up on Sunday like I'm doing the Lord some kind of favor by being here. You see, God is not impressed with my attendance. God is not impressed by my tithes and offerings. God is not impressed by my plans for my life. Almighty God will be satisfied with nothing less than my total commitment to Him. My total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, the painting that's going on in this sanctuary, the things that are changing, that will be with the lights and all that, we love those things. But they all are designed for one purpose, to point to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we are to focus on. The cross and the cross alone. At the foot of the cross is where I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Went right off my nose. I'm so sorry. Why? Because Jesus said, I've come to seek and save the lost. When Jesus came, He came looking for me. He came looking for you. Has He found you yet this morning? If you're sitting here in this sanctuary and you've never given your life to Christ, I encourage you to do that. If you're watching on the internet, if you listen to one of our audio CDs, give your life to Jesus Christ. The time is short. The Lord may come back in 1 second from right now. It might be in 5 seconds. It might be in 5 minutes. It might be on the way home. It might be in 100 years. But here's what I know. He's coming back. Amen. Don't you want to be one of His when He returns? Live for the Lord. Live for the Lord thy God. Jesus Christ did not bathe the world in His precious blood for me to give Him what I have time for. He did not. And friends, if you have received Christ as Lord, you belong to Him. You are His possession. You belong to Him alone. You are no longer your own because you have been bought and paid for with a price. You know, we've had some folks recently from our congregation that have gone to be with the Lord. I recognize the grief for the family. But my heart is just filled with the promise that I will see them again someday. My heart is just full of that. It's filled with that promise. What a glorious thing that is. So, can you imagine what Living Hope Baptist Church could do with a congregation full of Calebs? Amen? So first we saw Caleb's personal character. Next we see Caleb's public confidence. Caleb's public confidence. Listen to me. God is not looking for any secret agent Christians. You're not to be undercover. You're to be bold, amen? You're to be loud for the Lord. You are to put your hope in the Lord. And Caleb's character led to Caleb's confidence. Now, don't put your Bibles away. I know we just got to the second point. We're going to be turning in our Bibles here in a moment. Caleb was a man who had confidence in God. Why? Because he trusted God's Word. Watch what runs throughout this passage of Scripture. Look again at verse 14, middle 14b. The end of verse 14, it says, He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now Caleb is speaking, and he says, you remember what God said. Remember I pointed out those times when it says, the Lord has said in the verses ahead. And Caleb is speaking, and he's saying, you remember what God said. Do you remember that? Now, not what Caleb said, not what the pastor said, not what the preacher said, not what the worship leader said, not what the deacon said, not what my Christian friend said, but he says, do you remember what God said? Do you remember what God said? Not Moses said, but what God Himself has said. Look at the first part of verse 10. If you had verse 10, please say amen. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as He said. You see, I mark up my Bible. If you mark your Bible, that's a good thing to mark up right there. These 45 years, ever since, the Lord spoke His word, this word, to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Can you imagine that? He's grabbing hold of what the Lord has said. Look at verse 12 one more time. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this association with the Lord. Of which what? The Lord spoke. Do you see that? Over and over again, Scripture says, the Lord spoke. God promised. Do you know where Caleb's confidence was? His confidence was in the Word of the Lord. This does not contain the Word of the Lord. This is the inerrant, perfect Word of God. His confidence was in the Word of God. Caleb's battle axe was the Word of God. He had a mountain that he needed to conquer. God had given him that mountain, and Caleb went up that mountain with his sword in his hand. Thus saith the Lord. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. He went up that mountain with the title deed that God had already given to him. The title deed that God had already given him. The Lord promised it to him. And his confidence came out of God's promises. You'll notice I'm saying this over and over and over again. This is not out of my promises. This is not out of anybody here's promises. It's out of the Word of God's promise. Listen, guys, you can trust the Word of God. If you look on your screen, you'll see first Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by... Finish it, church. Let's try that one more time. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing? Amen. Hebrews 13:6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? What that's saying is what? It says, the Lord is my helper. I don't know who your helper is, but my helper is the Lord.
Amen.
What can man do to me? What's the answer to that? Nothing. When it comes to our eternal security, nothing. So what would we do is we take God's Word, soak our soul in it, hide our heart in it so we can say, God has said. God said that. Do you know what God has said in this book? Do you imagine, can you understand the eternal, rock-solid, ironclad promises God has given you as His people? Do you know what made Caleb such a great man? Caleb believed the Lord, his God's Word. You know, Psalm 19 had not been written in Caleb's time, but he grabbed the truth of those promises. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And my Wednesday night crowd knows exactly where I'm going to. I want you to go to verses 7 through 10. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. If you're there, please say amen. If you're there in a paper Bible, say amen. I'll give you another second. I cheated. I had mine marked. Amen. Are you guys ready for this? Mark this in your Bible. Turn to this all the time. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. Now don't turn away from that. Stay right there. Take a look at those verses. Are you still there? Say amen. See, as you look at those verses, that's really broken into three parts. Those old Jewish teachers knew and rabbis knew what they were talking about. See, the first part of each one of those sentences and each one of those sections is, talks about what the Bible contains. The Bible contains the law of the Lord. The Bible contains the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. What else is the Bible? The middle part. There's two words in the middle of all those verses. What is it? The Bible is perfect. The Bible is sure. The Bible is right. The Bible is pure. The Bible is clean. And the Bible is true. And what is the purpose for the Word of God? But to sanctify our soul. To help raise us up in the Lord. So the Bible sanctifies by how? Work your way from top to bottom again. By converting the soul. It sanctifies by making wise the simple, by rejoicing the heart, by enlightening the eyes, by enduring forever. And the Bible sanctifies by making you righteous altogether. How do you know that you're righteous and holy before the Lord your God? Because the Scripture says that if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, you will be saved. And all of God's saved people said, Amen. You see, that's just good stuff right there. That's stuff you can grab hold of, take to the bank, amen? Caleb believed the Word of God, and Caleb trusted God to keep His Word. Now if you look, why did Caleb trust the Lord his God to keep His Word? Look at the screen. This is a wonderful passage from the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers says, I love this, by the way, this is my granddaughter Cheyenne's favorite Bible verse. God is not a man that He should lie. I'm going to say that one more time. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? You can trust the word of God. You ought to grab a hold of that verse right there and just mark it in your Bible. Put it in the front of your Bible so you never forget that. You can trust God's word. You see, Caleb's heart was pure. It was fertile soil that the seed of God's word could find root in and grow. That's why I love you guys here at Living Hope Baptist Church. I got fertile ground here this morning. I got fertile ground every Sunday. You guys love the word of God. I love that. I love that you come here seeking God's word, even though he's using Brister to deliver it. Listen, Caleb was interested in what God had to say. That's what you should be interested in. When you go out of town, have your Bible open in your lap. Trust the word of God. Now listen to me closely for a moment. The reason that the word of God doesn't mean much to some people, the reason that the word of God does not mean much to some people, the reason that some folks can sit in the church when the word of God is preached and it just rolls off of them, is that their minds are on their plans. What kind of plans am I talking about? Well, good Lord, when is this guy going to be done? They sit there and they're mentally elsewhere and when the preacher is bringing the word of the Lord, wondering where they're going to go for lunch and whether or not it's going to be crowded. Moms, if you have your crock pot going, wondering if you left it on 15 degrees too high and you're going to have something stuck to the bottom when you get home. If you have a man in your house, he will eat the part stuck to the bottom, I guarantee you. And Miss Ruth Ann says amen. Friends, perhaps you're wondering who's going to win the game today. And they wonder these things. Why? Because they don't have that hunger for the Lord in their heart. Come to church with a hunger in your heart. Come to hear what God has said through His Word to you. Because people that don't have that hunger in their heart, they miss out on God's Word. They miss out on what God is trying to say to you this morning. They miss out on what the Holy Spirit is whispering into your heart. Now here was Caleb, a man whose heart was 100% for God. He wholly followed the Lord his God. Therefore the Word of God filled his heart. Filled his heart. Caleb knew the plans that God had for him. And Caleb had faith in God that some of us sitting right here today desperately need. If you are grieving in your heart today, if you're going through a tough time, you can believe the Word of God. We're going to finish this next week. That's okay. But God and His Word is not going anyplace. Amen? His Word is not going anyplace. Read today's passage over again before next week. But what about you? Do you trust in the Lord your God and His Word? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? What about this? Do you trust His Word and do you trust God's plan for your life? Because I'm here to tell you right now that God has a plan for you. You may be sitting there and thinking, I'm not sure. I just don't know, preacher. Pastor Larry, I'm just not sure about God's plans in my life. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. Because God knows. And God took care of that in His Word as well. Do you believe that God took care of your plans in His Word as well? Do you believe that? Amen. You see, if you look on the screen, we'll see an amazing passage, Jeremiah 33:3. It says, God says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Do you want to know what God's plans for your life are? Read the Word of God. Then cry out to the Lord to ask Him for His plans for you and your life. Why? Because you are not who you think you are. You are a child of the living God. Blue blood flows through your hands, through your veins. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. And God has a plan for you. What kind of plan? A plan with great and mighty things. I don't know about you, but I want to be great and I want to be mighty for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise in His house. Call upon Him. But you can only do that if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I end today, as I begin each week, with grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon. You are God. You are worthy.